Lord Jesus, I am celebrating this Feast of Tabernacles, and I have eyes to see, ears to hear, and my spirit is excited and can hear and understand what you're up to in this new season. Hallelujah. I want to just have you close your eyes and receive some of these words so that you can understand why this is so important to the Lord. The Feast of Booths or Tabernacles or Sukkot is designed by Father, not by man. The Israelites in booths in the wilderness. Israelites commanded to rejoice. Harvest festival, last of the year. And Leviticus 23, verses 33 to 44, Deuteronomy 16, 13 through 17, and 2 Chronicles 7, verses 8 through 10 confirm it. It's also called the feast. Yeshua goes up yearly to Jerusalem. That's Jesus in John chapter 7, verses 2 and 53. They ate and they slept in booths, in yards, and on balconies. The reason for that is because they needed to know that their existence in this realm was temporary. Very temporary. And the older you get, you realize how short this time frame is. Last year at this time, Susan was with us.
I'm missing her.
Susan is with her father and mother and her family. And she's probably saying, when is Gail coming up?
When it's the right time.
When it's the right time. Perfect answer. Because you're not in charge. Papa is. So, you need to remember that after Yeshua returns, God will dwell in a tabernacle with man. All nations will go up to Jerusalem to worship at the Feast of Tabernacles, and if they don't, there's going to be a major price to pay. That's in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 16 through 19, and Revelation 21, verse 3. You say, well, now, what does that have to do with me? A lot. Because I asked him this morning, I said, Lord, it was about 2:30 this morning. What is it that you want? And he gave me a little bit of a vision that I obeyed. You see, when he tells you to do something, it's important that you hear what he wants you to hear. Otherwise, he wouldn't have created ears. He created ears for us to hear. But you have two sets. You have your spiritual ears that are inside, and then you have these wonderful gifts on each side of your head. You got two of them. You can turn them off or on. My wife sometimes accuses me of selective hearing. I don't know if you have anybody in your life that has selective hearing, but they hear you, but they don't hear you because there's an agenda. So you can smile and say, yes, but now I'm washed in the living water. And I'm not going to use that tool against people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen? So this is what he told me to share with you. And I'm just going to ask you to, again, to close your eyes because it's done for you. If you need notes, we'll gladly let you listen to the website because they'll be all available. But it's very simple. Mark, St. Mark chapter 8. Peter receives a revelation from God. Now, Peter is a fisherman, so he's a businessman. He's busy. He's got hired help. When they show up, it's great. When they don't show up, he gets a little bit upset. But he's also got opinions. Say, I have opinions too. Sometimes I need to keep them, not spill them out. Amen? So, verse 27. Jesus and his disciples walked to the villages near Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he posed this question to his disciples. Who do people say that I am? Now, I would definitely say you might ask that question, but don't ask your neighbor. He might have a different opinion. They replied, some say John the Baptizer, others say Elijah, the prophet, and still others say you must be one of the prophets. So they're going by what they see and what they've tasted and what they've watched. Because just before that, Jesus healed the blind man with saliva. You can check that out. In verse 22, he asked them, but who do you say that I am? So he's really getting serious here. Who do you say? Not somebody else's opinion. Peter spoke up saying, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Ouch. Then he warned them not to breathe a word of this to anyone. Why? Because if they would have made it known, the enemy would have heard it. You say, wait a minute, the enemy's listening? Yes. He's listening to what comes out of your mouth. And sometimes you will give him an open door to destroy you without even realizing it, and that's dangerous. So that's where grace comes in, and favor from God. So I repeat, Peter spoke up saying, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Then he warned them not to breathe a word of this to anyone. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples that he, the Son of Man, was destined to go to Jerusalem and suffer great injustice from the elders, leading priests, and religious scholars. He also explained that he would be killed and 3 days later be raised to life again. How many know that when something panics you, you forget what others have told you? You're in the moment, your soul reacts, and what you heard a week ago, a month ago, 2 years ago, it all disappears, and you're stuck in the moment. Jesus opened his heart and spoke freely with his disciples, explaining all these things to them. So you see, we know for a fact that they heard, but they really didn't hear. Then Peter took him aside. This I love because I can see a businessman. It's time to straighten them out. Okay? Even the boss needs to be straightened out once in a while. Right, Brent? Okay. Peter took him aside and rebuked him. But Jesus turned around and glancing at all of the other disciples, he rebuked Peter saying, get out of my sight, Satan. For your heart is not set on God's plan, but on man's. Now, if you learn anything from this day, I pray that God's plan is better than yours. Much better. Higher order. Higher grace. Higher grade. Amen?
Amen.
Say, God needs to get through to me so I don't listen with my natural ears alone. I need to hear from my heart that God's plan is better than mine or someone else's plan for me. Amen? Now, here is the, let's say, corner that's a wee bit difficult. What it means to be a follower of Jesus. Jesus had his disciples and the crowd gather around him. And he said to them, if you truly want to follow me, you should at once completely disown your own life. Ouch. If you truly want to follow me, you should at once completely disown your own life. And you must be willing to share my cross. Nobody wants that cross. And experience it as your own. As you continually surrender to the ways of the Lord. A year and a half ago, Holy Spirit gave me a word during the night. And the word was, are you willing to taste the fellowship of my suffering? I said, yes, I'm willing. You see, when you've been a believer for a season, he wants to test and find out what you're up to. So he allows some things to happen. And so I asked, what is going to happen? And he said, that's the beginning of the cross. Trust me. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust. Well, there were several things that happened that caused me to, let's say, hold it in my heart, because he had told me this was personal. It wasn't to be shared. And I'm not going to share the whole thing, because if I did, I would be disobedient to what he asked me to do. But the test was tailor-made for me. In the middle of the COVID crap, and that's what it was, okay, I ended up with a heart attack. Found that out when the doctor examined me. And I had a few experiences that I told no one. And I still won't. Those are personal and they're private. But when I got to the hospital, now they're panicking and filling me with drugs, making sure that I survive what I went through. Well, I told them, you know, I don't have any pain. But they did all their testings and they said, well, there's some damage. And after some more tests, they found that they had to put in two stents because there were three blockages, one which was, according to them, irreparable. And several times during the experience, I would get uptight because some of the testings were not fun. And I won't go into the details of that except for one. Because in that one corner, I had a vision. I had this gentleman that came up to me who was a male nurse. And he was one that goes around getting blood. Well, guess what? They had taken enough blood. And my body was not reacting the way that he wanted to. So the right arm he gave up on because he already had made some punctures, and I don't need to tell you how wonderful that is. But it's nothing compared to the nails that went into our Savior's arms. So now he kneels down next to me on the left-hand side, and he grabs my arm, and this guy is about 6'4", weighs 280, 300. He's a big gentleman. He says, it's not going to move this time. Because obviously, you react when you're being punctured. That's when I had a vision of Jesus laying his arm down on the cross willingly. And I heard, will you let this man hurt you willingly? And I had the scripture that was now bouncing in my heart. And instantly, now this all happens in a second. Yes, Lord, it's okay. So I purposed to relax my arm, but he was holding that arm so tight that I thought it was going to break. And now he punctures the left arm, and there's no victory. He does it a second time. And now I'm reacting, but I'm purposing to leave the arm open. And I knew this was part of the test. Will you lay down your life on that cross with me? And I can remember pondering on it after the fact. At the moment, my soul was jumping. So he finally, on the third try, made a victory. Put a stent in, a port in. And he leaves the room. And I said, Lord, did I pass the test? I'm being honest, okay? Did I pass the test? And he didn't respond. I wanted him to respond, but he didn't. Jesus had his disciples and the crowd gathered around him, and he said to them, if you truly want to follow me, you should at once completely disown your own life, and you must be willing to share my cross and experience it as your own. As you continually surrender to my ways. For if you let your life go for the sake and for the sake of the gospel or the good news, you will continually experience true life. But if you choose to keep your life for yourself, you will forfeit what you try to keep. If you choose to keep your life for yourself, you will forfeit what you try to keep. For what use is it to gain all the wealth and power of this world with everything it could offer you at the cost of your own life? And what could be more valuable to you than your very own soul? If you are ashamed of me and my words while living among sinful and faithless people, then I, the Son of Man, will also be ashamed of you when I make my appearance with my holy messengers in the glorious splendor of my Father. Chapter 9, verse 1. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. There are some standing here now who won't experience death until they see God's kingdom realm manifested with power. So they're about to experience something that others are not allowed to see. He's got Peter, James, and John on that mountain. Nobody else. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter and two brothers, Jacob and John, hiked up a high mountain to be alone, and Jesus' appearance was dramatically altered, for he was transfigured before their very eyes. His clothing sparkled and became glistening white, whiter than any bleach in the world could make them. Then suddenly, right in front of them, Moses and Elijah appeared, and they spoke with Jesus. Now, you could communicate with spirit beings? Yes. You could see them? Yes. This is all part of what you become as a believer, as the Holy Spirit opens your eyes, opens your ears, and lets you see and hear and taste what he's prepared for you during the Feast of Tabernacles. Peter blurted out, good teacher, this is so amazing to see the three of you together. Why don't we stay here and set up three shelters or booths? So does that give you a clue of what this celebration is for? It's when God's Holy Spirit will impact you and you will be transformed from a person that looks normal to a person that is full of light and radiating it and sparkling just like Jesus. For he's the first of many brothers. That's in Romans 8. One for you, one booth for Jesus, one for Moses, and the other one for Elijah. For all of the disciples were in total fear. And Peter didn't have a clue what to say. Just then, a radiant cloud began to spread over them, enveloping them all. And God's voice suddenly spoke from the cloud, saying, this is my beloved Son, and you need to always listen to him. Then suddenly, as they looked around, they saw only Jesus with them, for Moses and Elijah had faded away. As they all hiked down the mountain together, listen carefully now, Jesus ordered them, don't tell anyone what you just witnessed. Wait until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. You know, they heard it again, but it didn't register. So they kept it to themselves, puzzled over what Jesus meant about raising from the dead. Now, I want you to put your hand over your heart and say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
these are spirit truths,
these are spirit truths
that I need to have my own revelation.
So I'm asking Holy Spirit
to make it real to me. I like the idea that it happened to Peter. It happened to James and John. But I want it. I want it all. And I don't want to miss. I want everything you've prepared for me. In this Feast of Tabernacles. I give you all the praise.
I give you all the glory.
All the glory. And I give you the honor.
Thank you for healing my
heart. And confirming this word to me. Now on October 4th, you can relax, take a deep breath. On October 4th, this word came to the people from Holy Spirit to this house. Behold, my sons and daughters, my faithful ones, I come to you tonight. You have ears here. The mysteries are unfolding, coming to pass quickly. The dots are being connected. I say mysteries, but they are not reality or really a mystery, because they have been written, just not totally revealed. The day is coming. Secrets will be revealed through my prophets. Test them if you must, but they are my trusted ones. My presence dwelling in each of you is a precious gift to be nurtured and respected. This is not the time to take it lightly. Ascribe and abide in my presence. I am preparing the way. I am preparing the place. The anointing is waiting. The peace is awaiting. The hope is awaiting. The love is awaiting. Sing, dance, rejoice. You will see me manifested in all my glory. I repeat, you will see me manifested in all my glory, and the glory will be reflected on you, who will be shining in all my glory. So it's what he experienced on that mountain that he's now declaring. You and I will taste this. You and I will taste the glory that radiated through Jesus, because we've got the same Holy Spirit in us, and he's going to complete his creation. Say, he's going to complete me. And I will be different. It might create a problem. But God knows. I want it. Hallelujah. The balance is rest, 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 and occupy till I come. You may have to put your soulish life on hold for a time, and then you will see you will have no need for that life anymore. That day I will rejoice. I am waiting patiently. Rest, 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 and occupy till I come. Say, Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
That word's for us.
That word is for us.
It's personal.
It's personal.
To me.
And I'm
going to
wear it well.
Because it will challenge me.
Because
it challenged Peter.
Peter.
And James and John.
John.
What else is new? The cross is before me. Will I hop on or run? I need grace, Lord. I need lots of grace. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, I pray.